This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Ben Fennell of NFL Network and ESPN. Ben, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, it's a pleasure to join you guys every Friday afternoon on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, Ben, how's it going, buddy? I have a question for you. Last week against the Giants, Aaron Rodgers was very animated, and it seemed like to me that MVS was the outside receiver. And the reason why I asked you this question, because you're just so intelligent the way you break these plays now, it seemed like he was trying to communicate to him to side adjust. Like, look inside. When you see more than five people coming, just break your route off, and I can throw you the ball. And that's maybe one of the reasons why I don't see MVS that much. I mean, I don't remember the last time he caught a pass that was meaningful.
You know, if I had to put some sort of reasoning behind why we haven't seen MVS in the offense, it's a little bit of what we saw last year in 2018 with MVS. He had a couple of the big plays, but on a lot of the underneath, the quick game stuff, the hot read, sight adjustment, he just wasn't on the same page at Rodgers. And Rodgers is very, very demanding and very detail-oriented with his routes and especially route conversions against the blitz. And if he wants that broken off at 3 yards and you're rounding it to 4 yards, I promise you Aaron Rodgers is going to the sideline and saying, this guy can't play with me right now. So,
and that's the same thing that Tom Brady was going through with his receivers.
Yeah, a little bit. And, you know, I think that's kind of a little bit of the stubbornness of Aaron Rodgers, in that he's so detail-oriented. Sometimes I feel like he doesn't pull the trigger because I think he doesn't think his receiver is at the right spot or breaking it off at the right landmark, or, hey, that comeback was supposed to be 21 back to 18, not 20 back to 17. And I think he's such a detail-oriented guy, and he's very, very hard on his young receivers, that if you don't have all your keys and your landmarks and all the details down in the playbook, you're not going to play with me.
You know, Ben, I look at this offense, but to me, it just still feels that it's not smooth, or it's not together, or maybe it feels
they
like there's
31 points.
Feels like there's two different game plans. I'm watching Seattle. I'm watching Russell Wilson them, and that looks good. Feel good. I mean, I'm looking at San Francisco. I kind of know what they're doing. It looks good. Feels good. But when I'm watching the Packers, although yeah, they scored 30 some points, but it looks a bit disjointed.
Yeah, I think because of the lack of structure that Aaron Rodgers continues to not play within. And when you look at the 49ers and you look at the Seahawks and those quarterbacks' ability to play within structure, and they do their job. It's not their job to get the receivers open. It's your job to make the right read and deliver an accurate pass. And like I was saying before about Aaron Rodgers and his demanding nature with the young receivers, I feel like he's demanding to an instance that, you know what, he doesn't want to throw the ball if he doesn't feel like his receiver is at the right spot. So I feel like Aaron Rodgers needs to do his job first and foremost as a quarterback, as a distributor, as a facilitator of the offense, and stop trying to be a superhero for everybody else. And I think he needs to get rid of the ball first and foremost and try to execute the offense within structure. And I think that's when the offense is at its best. And I think I would rather see a bit of a gunslinging, risk-taking Aaron Rodgers rather than the conservative Aaron Rodgers we've seen over the last 3, 4, 5 years, boasting a very impressive interception ratio and a very impressive grade via PFF and all that stuff, because he doesn't pull the trigger. I want to see Aaron Rodgers with some conviction and to say, you know what, I'm doing my job. I'm putting the ball where it needs to be. You got to do your job.
Okay, so I don't think we'll ever see that out of Aaron Rodgers, but I like the thought process on it. My fear in this whole thing was when Davante Adams came back, that was going to be probably the end of Aaron Jones, the production he had while Davante Adams was out. And really, to this point, it kind of has played out that way to a certain degree. And I'm trying to figure out why that is. Is it simply just Aaron Rodgers in love with his favorite receiver, Davante Adams, or has there been more to it when you watch the film?
Well, Davante Adams is an elite receiver, and he deserves his touches, and he deserves a majority of the attention from Aaron Rodgers. But I just haven't seen Aaron Jones isolated and schemed and put in a position to be successful like he had the first half of the season, whether it's the down-the-field route, whether that's motioning him outside the numbers and trying to get him isolated against linebackers and safeties and some mismatches. So as much as Aaron Rodgers is a little bit, you know, heavy to lean towards Davante Adams, and he's earned every right to do that, I just haven't seen the opportunities designed in the offense for Aaron Jones like we've seen to start the season.
Do you think we are, I guess, unfairly nitpicking the Green Bay Packers? Now, they do have 9 wins, but it feels like it's maybe not 9 wins. I mean, are we not being appreciative of what they are all about?
No, I think we're fairly evaluating this team. And despite being 9-3, there are some major issues with this team. And I think it's great to be 9-3 despite the issues. And listen, every team has to overcome adversity, whether it's injuries or moving parts or guys, you know, hired off
Thank
the
you.
Streets and, you know, things like that. So I think they've done a good job, but it's not that they're a perfect football team. It's not that the defense is some dominant unit. It's not the offense is some juggernaut putting defenses up against the wall every week. There's issues with this team. There's issues team-wise. There's issues talent-wise. There's issue execution-wise. So it's great that they've been able to boast a winning record and keep it rolling. But I think it's fair to still look at this team with an unbiased approach and that, you know what, they can still be evaluated and they can still be improved.
Talking with Ben Fennell of ESPN and NFL Network here on the Wendy's Big Show, live from the 13th annual WSSP Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin Sess Community Services.
Now, Ben, the Packers were like 28th or last or something in return. They're just getting nothing in returns. They try to bring a young man in to help with that. Do you think you can win games if you're not getting anything from your return game? I mean, it puts a lot of pressure on your offense and defense. Do you think it's a recipe that as long as they get somebody just to fair catch it, the offense may have to go longer, you know, the 80-yard drives, you know, 75, but you won't get a turnover. Do you think they can win like that?
You know, I think they can win, and special teams are kind of a funny animal in that, you know, when things start to go bad, you start to find what are the issues, and I think that's when special teams and the focus and the microscope of special teams come into play when teams start stacking losses together. I think that's only a problem when it becomes a problem. If the offense moves the football, nobody really cares if, the punt return team isn't putting the ball between the 40s or giving them, short fields to go. I think the offense needs to be better execution-wise no matter where they're getting the football. And I think it's more important on the other side of the ball. You know what? Let's make sure our special teams coverage units are, you know, playing up to speed and playing quality ball, because this defense will allow some long drives and they're going to allow some chunk plays and allow some third down conversion. But as long as you're forcing them to go the whole length of the field and the Green Bay Packers offense really doesn't turn the ball over and put the defense in bad positions, I think that's a great recipe to be competitive in nearly every game.
Okay, Owen Burks. Now, here's something, Steve. I just don't understand how Owen Burks is. I thought he was hurt, but I see him on special teams. But they bring down 39 to play that role that Raven Green was supposed to play. I used to love playing that position, that linebacker position, next to the guy that leads the league and tackles, Blake Martinez. My question is, wouldn't it be conducive to use this game to kind of put him in there? Because how do you explain that if he's healthy, a guy with these measurements, that he's watching for the most part, and the only way he plays if they're blowing teams out? Something is wrong about this picture.
It is a concerning picture, especially when Ibrahim Campbell comes back in on the drop of a dime
right,
and immediately has that position back. So, you know, I don't know a whole lot about Oren Burks off the field, so maybe there's a bit of is he a slow blinker? I don't know. Is there, a bit of a behind the curve and understanding the scheme and reading keys and really getting the NFL game to slow down for him? He really hasn't been on the field in any sort of consistent basis for the game to slow down for him. And you know that linebacker position, especially the transition from college to the NFL, it's a learn-on-the-job business. And yeah, until you get the reps and until you prove you can stay on the field consistently and go through those growing pains, which he's really never had an opportunity to shake off those cobwebs and get through the growing pains and let that game slow down just a tick, which you really need for linebackers because things happen so fast in the box in the NFL. You really have to have your eyes in the right spot and know your reads and know your cues. So I'm not really sure where he is mentally, but if I had to guess, if he's healthy, he's just a bit tick slow upstairs with understanding Pettine's scheme and seeing different actions from opposing offenses.
Yeah, real quick, before we let you go. Now, this is going to be hard because the Pro Bowl will be out soon. And sometimes it used to bother guys when they didn't make it. But if you look at running back, Dalvin Cook, lock. Christian McCaffrey, lock. The third spot, because they'll take three tailbacks and maybe a fullback. But how they do it now is a little bit different. So, but for Aaron Jones, if he does not make the Pro Bowl, I thought it was between him and Ezekiel Elliott. For if they stuck to the what we used to do in the 90s on the NFC, Ezekiel had two touchdowns, although they lost. But everybody's over 1,000 yards rushing. If he doesn't make it, whose fault is it? Is it, you know, the head coach's fault for not getting him the ball? Is it from not him not doing a lot, offensive line? Who can you pin it on?
Well, you know, the NFC is loaded with.
Don't get hit by that train now while you're talking.
Yeah, I'm out here in Memphis. I don't know what's going on behind me, but showboat's still running around out here.
It's all good, my brother.
There's a lot of talented running backs in the NFC. So, you know, if you want to put in Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, and Christian McCaffrey, that's saying, okay, Alvin Kamara, you're not good enough. Or Zeke Elliott, you're not good enough. There's just not enough spots for these kids in the NFC. So I think being the 6th, 7th, 8th running back in the NFC isn't necessarily a negative. It's just a really
absolutely
deep group. And, you know, whether you're 7 or 1, I think they all kind of understand it's a deep group and they're all going to, you know, get their shares each week. But I'm looking right at the head coach and giving him opportunities. And I've been on the front lines of saying the more times Aaron Jones touches the ball, the more likely you're going to get an explosive play. And he's proven that in the first half of the season. And then I'm just not sure where the intent and the philosophy went in feeding this guy the ball. He's earned every right to get the ball. And you know what? You want to preserve him a little bit mid-season for that late-season run into the playoffs? Great. But now is the time to feed this guy. He's earned it. Give him the ball.
That's not. I think he'll make it based on that format. You think, Steve? You know, the way they do it now, not like AFC, NFC.
Right.
Where you could, like, draft guy. I think he'll make it based off of that.
Your prediction for the game, please, Ben Fennell.
Let's go 31-13 Green Bay and a pretty comfortable win. I think they give Dwayne Haskins some problems here. He's really not seeing the game as quickly as he should, especially on third down and especially against the blitz. So I expect Mike Pettine to really dial up the pressure and the Packers to win pretty comfortably.
So the same score as the Giants.
That would be a roll-out-the-helmets game, as
roll
we refer
out
to here on the big show. Roll-out-the-helmets.
Chuck Sullivan can play this week.
17 points.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, very good. Hey, Ben, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, buddy.
You betcha. And again, Ben Fennell, each and every Friday at 2:48, he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. And Great Midwest Bank, the bank of the toy drive this year. They were out here earlier on and dropped off a bunch of toys and a cash donation. So thanks to them. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.